Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, Los Angeles and around the country, wherever you are listening. It is 8 o'clock here on the West Coast. This is Mainstream Metaphysics, and I am Nick Newmont, and I am pleased to be spending another Tuesday night with you. So we have made it through the Super Bowl, and I'll touch on this very quickly. And yay, I was right in what I said would happen, that the San Francisco would control the game, and it would definitely look like San Francisco would win, but the Chiefs would come back and take it in the end, and they did so. And congratulations to both those teams for making it to the Super Bowl. If you are tuning in for the first time, I am Nick Newmont, and I am a psychic healer, hypnotherapist, all things metaphysical and ritualistic, the Newmont Center for Balanced Living in Agora Hills. And we do a lot of wonderful things there. And if you'd ever like to know more about what we do, you can go to our website at newmontcenter.net or call the center at 818-865-8770. And we have a lot of wonderful people there that do a lot of different things. And high integrity, if I may say so. There were a little bit of celebration this evening. Today, May the 4th, is the birthday of LA Talk Radio. It was born on February 4th, 2008. And it's interesting that numerologically, LA Talk Radio is a 16 over 7. And in the Tarot, 16 is the Tower card, which means it's the explosion. And it's also a healing change. So congratulations and happy birthday to LA Talk Radio. I am thrilled to be here and loving every minute of being able to share what I do with all of you. And in terms of wanting to share, there we go. Always starting the watch party on my own website. On Facebook. If you're near Facebook, you can watch on LA Talk Radio Facebook Live, or you can listen in if you're streaming on LA Talk Radio on the internet. And also there is an app for LA Talk Radio. So there's a lot of ways, and there's a lot of good people here and a lot of different viewpoints of fascinating things. So speaking of fascinating things and how the universe brings us together, puts us together, and just works in wondrous ways, and I've got quite a story to tell you as I weave in my guest this evening. You know, we in our lives, if we don't like brutally end a relationship or, you know, when things don't work out, sometimes in the busyness of Los Angeles, there's so much that goes on, and lives are so full that you have people in your life, and then some magic way they do come back in, and then you look back, and not just a year or two, I'm talking about decades, and you just go, wow, that's cool how everything unfolds. And when you've lived enough years on the planet, as I have, you see these things happening full tilt. So I'm going to introduce my guest who's part of this story, who is a very well-known psychic, a very accurate psychic. She has been publicized. She has been on radio, television, been in movies. She has been a poet. I mean, she does so much. She was once known as the rock and roll psychic back in the day. And I met this young lady when I was making an appearance on the TV show The Other Side back in 1994, somewhere in there. Good Lord. And first time I met her, and we hung out for a while, and then life takes over, and then you drift. But I've got to introduce right now, as I said today on my Facebook page, the legendary Vox.
Thank you, Nick.
You're
it's
welcome.
To see you.
It's good to see you, and it's so cool that you're here tonight, you know, on the show. And you know, people know who you are. They know that all the incredible things you do in so many modalities, so much that you teach. You're truly international, and you're extremely accurate in what you do. You take yourself very seriously. You take your work very seriously, and you've been doing this and studying since you were a little kid.
Yes.
5 years old. You know, that's amazing. So you're gifted. You come from family that's gifted. And, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
It's true.
You know? So it's cool to have you here. I want to tell a little bit of the story of what happened in the last couple of months that has woven us together. For those of you that know me or friends of the Newmont Center, you know that our dear friend Jeff Sherman had passed last September, unfortunately, accidentally. Yep. And so in November 20th, which would have been his birthday, and even though we speak of the past, Jeff is literally a month younger than me. Born the same year, he's literally 1 month younger than me. And went to this wonderful celebration of his life.
Right.
And I was with one of my friends. There were a group of us that went to this, and it was lovely. And it wasn't a boo-hoo kind of thing. It really was a celebration.
It really was an incredible get-together.
It was. And then one of the friends that was with Audrey and me looked over and heard this voice, and she said, "That's Vox." And my friend had not seen you in a long time. And all of a sudden, we found our way to each other and all talking, introducing those who didn't know each other yet. And really, and I have to tell you something. It's very easy in LA to say, yeah, we need to get together. We'll get together and all that. And it sounds good and means well, but a lot of times it doesn't happen.
Right.
And this was one of those moments within the integrity of those of us. And my wife didn't know who you were, first time meeting her. It really was, it's great to get connected, reconnected. Let's make sure we get together. We have a lot to talk about and a lot to do. And sure enough, we made sure that we stayed in contact. And I'm going to bring it up to speed because you have your own version and vision of this. And so this past Saturday, we had a psychic panel at the Newmont Center with Vox and with LA Talk Radio's Sheena Metal.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, right?
It really was.
And the people loved it. And we did some private readings. And we talked about some meaty, weighty things, too.
Yeah, not the fluffy stuff that most people equate with psychics.
Right. Well, and you'll as you hang around with me more and more and vice versa, there is a phrase that I use and people like it. And I say, I'm not into cotton candy spirituality.
Yeah. Even though it tastes really good.
But there's no substance.
No.
There's no nutritional value there. Although it's sweet. It really is. So the night before, Friday night at the Newmont Center, we had a think tank mastermind. It's an informal networking of holistic practitioners, psychics, and people that really want to be a part of that community. And we all stand up and introduce ourselves. Like if any of you have been in a networking group, you have to do your 30 or 60 second elevator speech.
Right.
And I got up and said who I am, what I do. And then I said, if you or anyone you know is looking for a space to rent in a center like ours, please send them my way. Because we're literally about to expand another several hundred square feet at the Newmont Center. And we're so thrilled. And so I put it out there on Friday night.
And I wasn't there.
And Vox was not there. That's right.
I was invited, but I had some stuff I had to do, so I couldn't go.
Right. So on Saturday, as we're sort of winding everything down, Vox goes into the area, the retail area of our center. You go from there. Take the story.
Well, I was just going in for a cup of coffee and a piece of, cheese or something. And I walked into the kitchen, and there's a wall right before you get to the kitchen. I did not notice anything about it. And as I was going back out to take part in the panel, I looked to my left, and I feel like an explosion, like boom. And I look, and it's a whole entire wall of nothing but just amazing crystals. Now, I'm a crystal person as well, so you would have thought I would have seen it walking in, but I didn't. But I felt it walking out, and I went up to Nick, and I said, hey, wow, that wall just blew me away. And at the actual event, I could not be quiet. I just kept, I was just on fire with these crystals. I didn't even know were there. And so I said, wow, that's really incredible. And then you pulled me aside and said, I have a quick question for you.
I did.
And I didn't know what that was because I thought I had already answered Audrey's question, which was about the same thing. And you brought it up to me like you wanted to expand. And should you? That's all you said. And I thought about it and I was like, yeah, absolutely. And you said, we're going to move this crystal wall. And so I'm going to take like the additional space. But mm-hmm. the only challenge is now I'm going to need to rent this other space. And mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm interested. And I wasn't there to hear that he was interested. And I had no idea whatsoever. So that's, you go, oh yeah, you're so psychic. How did you not know that? Well, that is a lot of times how the psychic energy works. You dovetail into what's already, open as a possibility, and you just come in there. Now, I could have been clever about it, and when I was reintroduced to Nick, say, oh, by the way, I'm looking for an office. And he could have said, oh, by the way, I have one, but we didn't do that.
No, wasn't premeditated or anything like that.
And I didn't do any rituals. No candles were being lit. I was not meditating on manifestation. Boom. That's the best kind of manifestation, is when you're in sync with somebody else's need or desire, and boom, it just happened. So now you finish.
So we talked and actually got to the point like quickly where it's like, well, this is what I have. This is what's available. We talked a little bit of numbers, and it was like, well, that works.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that fast.
It was literally in 2 minutes.
Right. It would be great if all deals were struck like
that. It would
that,
be nice.
So agreeably and so quickly.
And I had been looking for an office for 6 months because I knew I was going to get hammered by that solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. And right after that, lunar eclipse, and we had another one, and then another lunar eclipse. And I knew that after the final lunar eclipse that, as Robert Plant says in Kashmir, Led Zeppelin, all will be revealed. For months, people kept coming up to me and going, hey, so Vox, where are you going? And I would look at them and I would say, all will be revealed. That's all I would say about it. But as you know, so now all has been revealed.
And so I'm not only Vox, but I'm introducing the latest member of the Newmont Center of Balanced Living.
Yay!
Vox, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So many levels. Yes, we are thrilled to have you. And it takes us to a whole new level in so many ways because you teach so many things. And I've been telling Audrey, I can't teach everything. I can over
time. You can, but...
I don't want to teach all the classes all the time.
You have to clone yourself.
No, they threw away the mold. Trust me.
All right, pull a hologram.
Yeah.
Make you into a hologram.
Yep, like Iron Man. So anyway, there's so many things that you and I can talk about and so many topics. And I must say that, I almost wish Sheena was here, that the conversations that we had between each other and with the audience, it just flowed. It just worked.
And we've got like 3 people that can talk a lot.
All 3 of us could hold that amount of time on our own.
I can kill a battery on an iPhone. I can talk nonstop for 8 hours, in a reading. And I'm like, okay. But everybody took a nice turn. Everybody had a different point of view. you know, so it was really wonderful.
Absolutely. So for my listeners and viewers that don't know you yet, how do you read? What methods do you do? How do you get your information? What's your style? What do you like?
Okay, well, because most people, when I had my radio show on KLSX, they only heard my voice, which is, you know, I'm Vox, and that's it. And we weren't having any video or podcast. So studying since the age of about five, and, I not to say I was any good then, you know, but I studied astrology and numerology and interpretation of dreams from about 5 years old, and also, excuse me, tarot. So what happened over the years is as a natural-born clairvoyant trance medium, some people learn how to do that, and I was just thrown into that. I mean, I used to see visions and all this kind of thing. So the first thing that comes is the vision. Actually, let's rewind. And the first thing is the question. The question bounces off me. I'm a priestess ruled by the moon, like really in astrological terms. And the priestess is the reflector of the sun. And so as soon as I get a question, boom, I'm on. And I immediately start getting visions and like little movies. And I'm usually having my eyes closed because I'm watching that. And after I start seeing the vision, then I will use the tarot. The tarot, what's so great about it as a tool is it delineates the boundaries. So say you can get a vibe like, oh, this looks good. And most people read tarot cards on a very superficial level. Oh, I like the picture, so it must be good. And I would say, no, learning Kabbalistically, the planetary and zodiacal aspects of the cards, which a lot of people haven't studied that. So I get the vision, then I clarify the date and the time and the situation. And a lot of people will say, that's enough. But then I use the astrology as well. So, and on top of that, I will get names and other details. So I can go to the past, the present and the future. And oddly enough, it creates a very detailed narrative. And it's all bound in by the information of the tarot. So you can say, oh, you get the sun card. Oh, somebody's getting married. No, somebody's thinking about marriage is what comes after that in the marriage placement. So it's going to delineate, okay, somebody's wanting to marry you, or you want to marry somebody else. Now let's finish that statement. Mm-hmm. So you get the Three of Swords after that. Okay, I know you want to get married, but it's not a great idea.
Right, with the Three of Swords.
Yeah, and definitely. Then it dictates the rest of the vision. And this is, in particular, I will just say it. What the heck? I am the world's expert on the actual use of the Thoth deck. Thoth is the ancient Egyptian god of magic, communication, all this travel, and magic as well. And so there are people maybe that they've studied it for a really long time and they know all the Kabbalistic information. But on a practical level, I've read more people with this deck than anybody else. And I'm very grateful to be able to say that. And I like to teach people how to read it, because it really is a book, the Book of Thoth. It's a
absolutely
book with no binding on it. And there are, like, in this particular deck, there's 80 cards, 80 to 81. So any permutation of that, everybody's got, like, the same story. Like William Shakespeare said, there are only 12 stories, and he referred them. But there are permutations of those 12 stories, you know, and that's what the tarot is great for. So that's the Vox answer to that very simple question.
I use several decks, and the Thoth deck is one of them that I use. And I find that there are some topics that people ask about that are fluffier. Mm-hmm. But when I'm reading on something where there could be undercurrent, subterfuge, legalities and stuff like that, that deck ferrets out the undercurrents that are going on.
The thing I like about this deck is the minor arcana. have all of the different elemental suits, and there are no real pictures on the minor arcana. There are the court cards, the four right. court cards, and then the trumps, which have human depictions on them. Mm-hmm. But the minor, they don't give you any details. It really works your third eye.
Right, exactly.
You know, but yeah, this is not the starter deck. I usually refer people to the Rider-Waite baby deck.
You and
deck.
I are on the same page on that.
But there's no zodiacal or mystical racism, as we might put it. There is a way in which people can learn easier. But the Thoth deck, I like to just dump into the deep water with people mm-hmm. like a puppy and say, all right, you may as well learn this deck. You may as well, and take it seriously. Otherwise, you know, you don't need to study with me. That's okay. Not everybody's cut out for this stuff.
Well, that's exactly right. Everybody is at whatever level of spirituality, ritualism, metaphysics that they are, and that's where they need to be, and that's mm-hmm. where they should be. But when people want to study advanced versions of topics, whether it's cards, whether it's astrology, there's so many layers to it where you just keep going and keep going and keep going
forever and ever. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, there are in numerous tarot decks, some of them kind of silly in a way, because a lot of people went through this period where they were inventing tarot decks.
Oh, they're still
right.
And I have a deck, I actually have six decks, but the first one that's going to be published this year is not a normal tarot deck. But tell me if you know about this. You probably do. You know, in the tarot, the Thoth deck, it's pretty much outside of the Golden Dawn deck, the only two decks that really started out with a planetary aspect in the zodiacal aspect. But I found myself going, wait a minute, there's no Uranus and Aries card. So I've been devising a 120 card deck that's going to represent all of the planets and all of the signs. Mm-hmm. You know, and Pluto's a planet. Don't get me started.
Well, when you go back when, you know, ritualism began, there were seven planets.
Mm-hmm.
Uranus was discovered in 1760 something
mm-hmm. by Herschel,
right? And then 1830 something was Neptune, and then 1930 was Pluto,
right?
So the planets had nocturnal and diurnal rulers, or the signs did,
right?
You know, before Pluto was ruling Scorpio, Mars ruled Scorpio,
right?
Uranus ruled Aquarius, that was Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And then before Neptune, Jupiter ruled
Pisces.
Yes. So, and still to this day, Mercury rules Virgo and Gemini.
Which explains poor Virgos. Why they're so,
And then Venus rules Taurus and Libra. So we still have dualities going on. So, yes, it wasn't until, and cards have been around for a long time, it wasn't until the late 1700s that Uranus was known, you know. So it wasn't contributing.
Right.
So that's why we have to continue to update our studies. Like, for instance, a lot of numerology authors, especially the ones that get into double digits that look like inverted fractions, mm-hmm. compound numbers. Like, for instance, the book by Dan Millman, The Life You Were Born to Live, for some reason, he stops at 49 over 4, and he doesn't go into the upper numbers. And then the Divine Triangle,
Faith, Hope, and Charity.
Faith and Dusty, those two women that wrote that. That book goes to 78 because they correlate it with the Tarot, and that's a very good book.
I haven't read that one.
Numerology book. I'll lend it to you. And then when I wrote my book, I looked at everybody and I went, but since 9 is the ninth number,
mm-hmm.
then my system goes to 99 over 9 because 9 and 9 is 18, 1 and 8 is 9. So that's when I wrote my book. I felt that the only ending should be with the nines, and nine is the number of ending and completion.
I think today is a nine, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah, pretty sure it is.
It, there it is. 4, 6. Yesterday was a nine. Today is a 10.
Okay.
Today's a 10. Because I was doing the birth date of LA Talk Radio. Today is a 10 over 1. It's a day of new beginnings.
Yeah, and for me, I have a lot of like 22 energy. So that kind of manipulates it into a 5. So we're talking, we're on the radio.
Well, LA Talk Radio as a name is a 5, which puts out the vibration that's different, creates change. So once again, thank you, LA Talk Radio. So as we get, you and I do, by the way, I need to stop for a moment. We were laughing at the panel discussion the other day because you said that with Tarot, you've read over 1 million people. And I said, Vox, you're like the McDonald's of psychics.
I might have to like take that as a motto. I don't know. But I did stop counting. I did stop.
How long ago did you stop counting?
About 2005, because then I thought, oh God, this is just silly. It's just silly. Cause we're always saying, you know, we're psychic. We need to be humble. We shouldn't be arrogant, spiritual arrogance and all that stuff. But I was like, wait a minute. And I've documented this stuff cause I've had secretaries and I have my schedule books, and that's basically the ones that paid something, even though I wasn't charging any money, because I did thousands and thousands of readings before I even was on the radio. And I didn't choose to do this. I'm a musician and a poet and a painter.
Right, right.
It was like, oh yeah, I want to grow up and be a psychic. That was not it. I was trying to figure out how I was going to make it and the relationships that I would need to make, and also in my private life. And then people went, wow, you told me this crazy stuff and it all happened. And I went, I did. Because, you know, we forget.
Oh, yeah, people do that. Remember when you told me? It's like, no.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
Now, what will happen once in a while is after I've made a prediction, the person will come back and they'll say, everything you said was right. I always praise God because we're not in control of this gift. And after they came back to tell me that I was correct, then I would remember, like, oh yeah, you're going to marry a guy who's got a dog that's a Pisces. How would I know that? You said he would have a dog that was a Pisces. And that's actually a true story, by the way. That was the snip
that's
of
funny.
A true story. That's how I got into this book, America's Top 100 Psychics. Thank you, Paulette. And I had a crazy client that was just so incorrigible, so unpleasant, really. A very unpleasant individual, and I would do anything to get rid of this client, literally. And I was like, because she would come in every week, when am I going to meet a guy? When am I this? When am I do that? And back in the day, we used to call them, and not very nicely, I must add, psychic junkies.
That's, oh, yes.
And I hate, yes. I hate to be derogatory about people, but I always did my best to help her out. And then finally, I said, all right, and let's just cut it, because I can't deal with this woman anymore. She's driving me insane. And I was only getting $8. I mean, I could use $8, right? Whatever. So it wasn't about the money. Her energy was just very disconcerting. So anyway, I said, I've got a plan. I'm just going to project your future husband. I'm just going to leapfrog over all these dates. And let me tell you, and this is in the book, so I could tell you, but she couldn't even get a date, which is why she kept coming back. So it was kind of ridiculous that I would say she could even get engaged at that point, because she wasn't looking her best. We have to get real. We're in Los Angeles. You have to try. Okay. You really can't be overweight. You can't wear thick glasses. I'm really sorry. You can't have a big nose. I'm sorry. That's not my thing. Okay. But she was not getting anybody to date her. And it'd be fine if she was not super attractive. Fine. But it was really, I think, what I was sensing was so unattractive about her was her personality. And I couldn't tell her what to do about that. So I told her, wear this, do your hair like this, get rid of the glasses, blah, blah, blah. Oh, if you do those things, I pulled one card, you will meet this guy, and here's when you'll meet him. And I just, this whole litany, like, he is he's 6 foot two. He's been married. And she was a really funny black girl, right? Meaning that she had like that sass, like, mm-hmm. I get it. You know, whatever. And I said, he looks like this, and I will not marry a man who's ever been married. I said, oh, and he's also got a little 3-year-old daughter with golden hair. Forget it, no baggage. And he's got a dog, and the dog looks like a Pisces. How would I know? I was doing the cards, and the cards were telling me. And so I went on the whole thing, and then finally I said, he's got a mustache, dark hair, dark eyes. Oh, he looks like a Capricorn. I'm just reading the cards. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I don't like Capricorns. Forget about it. And I said, oh, yeah. And two other things. He seems like a Capricorn. Oh, and he's a cop. Now, not for anything. I don't imagine, especially in this town that we've had a lot of trouble and stuff, that a black woman is going to marry a cop in particular. They don't seem like that's the thing they want to do. And beyond that, I said, oh, and there's one final thing. She goes, what? And I said, he's white. No way. Forget it. Talk to the hand. I'm like, that's what I'm seeing. Didn't see her for 6 months. And I was like, well, that worked. No, I wasn't like lying to her. I was just really telling her what I saw. She came back 6 months later. She looked pretty darn good. She was in a really great mood. I'm like, wow, that's great. And then she puts her hands down, and then she goes, tell me something. And I said, I pulled like two cards. I went, oh my God, no way. You're getting married. She goes, that's right. And she slams her hand down and shows me a huge diamond ring. No, I don't believe it either. And then I said, well, tell me about it. She goes, well, don't you remember? You told me everything. I'm like, no, I don't remember a darn thing. She reels it off. He's 6 foot two. He's got the daughter. He's got the Pisces dog, whatever. And then she goes, and he's 6 foot two. He's got a mustache. He's, you know, he's a cop. Oh, yeah. And he's white. I'm like, hallelujah.
That was good.
Never saw her. Oh, wait, I saw her one more time. And I said, okay, the wedding's going on, and she was getting married in Bermuda. And that is the last time I saw her. So when I got interviewed for that book, that was the story I told, and everybody at the place I was working, they all knew that it was a true story. And so they threw that in the book. And so this very difficult client that I had actually was very responsible for this incredible opportunity, because that's when I got on TV. That's when I met you.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I got my radio show. Because of this one client, and I don't know whatever happened to her.
You know what? You made her day, literally and figuratively.
She made my day, too.
Yep.
You know, I always have to thank her. Thank you, right. Anita. I have a photographic memory, as you can see. And that really was her name, so she can call and tell me what happened.
Yeah, it's really cool when you have stories like that, because it's almost when you get the feedback on it. Because when you're doing a reading for someone, you don't know. You're just saying. You're just channeling and letting it fly. And, you know, when they come back with those stories like that, we don't do what we do for ego, but it sure does feel good to get an attaboy.
Oh, definitely. Once in a while. You know what I think that the thrill for us is it's like a puzzle. This person represents a puzzle. They don't represent to me a paycheck or anything. They represent to me, oh, I got to figure this out. She can't get a date. What am I going to do? Because people like us, we actually care about the client. And it's not really about the money. There are many times that the clients that need us the most usually have no money. And the way that I charge makes it possible for me to do many free or discounted readings for people that cannot pay for it. So we want to help people. I don't know why we want to help people. Do you know why?
It's just it's in the nature of when you get into the deep nuts and bolts of one's astrology chart, you can see those things that show up as to why you do, mm-hmm. why we do what we do.
Because it sure was not a career choice at all.
Well, if you had told me 35 years ago, this is what I've been doing, I would have told you you were crazy. Seriously.
Well, I am crazy, but that's another show.
Well, and being psychic is a little form of crazy.
It is.
The brain works differently. By the way, before I forget, and we'll do this before the end of the show, for people that want to have private sessions with you, tell them how to get in touch with you. Email, phone, whatever you want to.
You can write to me at vox@vox.org. That's V like Victor, O-X-X at V-O-X-X.org. Or voxthepsychic@gmail.com. Most people don't know how to spell psychic, you know. You can also call me on my professional number at 323-782-0222. I have a blog, which is vox.org, V-O-X-X.org. And voxthepsychic.com, which is my tarot school. So I teach. If you want to look me on social media, I usually either have the name Vox, V-O-X-X, or Vox1. So you can find me on Twitter at Vox, Instagram at Vox1, Facebook Vox1. And yeah.
And we'll give that out again before we close the show tonight. You know, when you were talking about the term psychic junkies, that phraseology is what motivated me to also become a certified hypnotherapist, because I had the, you know, I got my start originally in a metaphysical bookstore and then built a private practice from there. And so the type of client, the stereotyped kind of client is the one that comes out of a metaphysical bookstore is a little more frequent, doesn't pay a lot, and is somewhat needy, okay, needs a lot of reassurance. And as my practice developed, I could see where what I was telling people was accurate, but they weren't taking action on things to actually, you know, push it over the top. And so then I became a hypnotherapist so I could help people, you know, get what they wanted. So my motto was that I was giving people their life back. Okay.
That's great.
And that's what did that. And of course, then from there, everything else I've studied and taught in the healing realm. And it got to the point where with a lot of those clients, I don't know if you use this phraseology, I fired a lot of clients because I actually got to the point compassionately, I would say, you don't need a reading, you need therapy.
Oh yeah.
And you can see that in that type of personality. Now that we're fortunate, you know, at our place and what we do and the way we do it, I don't get those kinds of clients anymore.
Well, what stood out to me was, excuse me, there would be a client, and I mean, I was like doing 24 people a day in person, like 6 days a week. I mean, I was a tarot machine, really, basically. And they go, oh, so yeah, you remember what you told me last time? I'm like, not to be rude, but no, I don't remember. She goes, well, you told me the same thing the last three times. And I said, you know what? You're not spending your money wisely. What that tells me is you're not doing anything about the other stuff I talked to you about. So when you do this, and this, because I'm not the genius, you are. I'm trying to contact your angel and translate what I'm getting that's going to benefit you and bless your life. When you do those things, your reading is going to change. And people started noticing that it did. And I wouldn't say that I fired anybody, but I put myself in a situation where I no longer really was able to see that person. And it's really maybe about 10 people in my whole life. And I've got thousands of clients, praise God, always knock on wood. So there's always going to be people that do want to change. And we're not really supposed to give out health information, but I'll do it anyway. But I will say, you know, I'm not a doctor. If it hurts, go to a physician, not a psychic. But here's what I'm getting for you. This is what I'm thinking. So you want to take that information and go get like a physical healing, which Nick does, you know.
Right. And I tell people when I do a reading, which is recorded, when it comes to your health, I don't prescribe or diagnose, but I am a healing intuitive.
Right.
That if I pick up on something that needs attention, I will tell you to go get a checkup.
Yeah.
I literally tell people that in the beginning of the reading. Because you don't want to create panic, but you also don't want to create some kind of false sense.
Exactly.
And you also don't want to get yourself sued either.
Well, here's the deal about that. I care so much about people, and I don't know why, but I just do. Okay. If I see there's some real danger, I'm sorry, Nick, I will probably freak out my client. I will. I freak out my family. Like when I said, don't take a trip right now. There's going to be a pandemic. And like, right, Vox. No more be said. I hope you guys are reading the newspaper because I'm not going to spell it out for you. But if I think a person, a friend, a client, even a stranger is in danger or something, I feel compelled to say something about it. And I try to keep it cool, but I'm not always able to do that. So you're very nice, but I can be kind of, I don't know, overwhelming.
Well, it depends on the personality of the client and whether they're really hearing you or not. Sometimes you have to be a little more dogmatic in the presentation.
Like today I just gave somebody a reading and he's in a situation he really needs some help. And I went, la, 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 you're going to do this. La, la, la. Here's what needs to happen because he's asking me. And then I said, oh, and by the way, you're not going to do any of the things I just said because I can also see that as well. But do what you want. This is what I hope for you. And that's really frustrating.
I had a situation that just happened in this past week. And so the client was looking at a choice of business addresses. And I said, this one, not that one. And the client said, well, this one, and she gave the reasons. And I said, no, not that one, because that is going to be chaos. And in the client was also talking about there was a tenant in there that would be willing to move to the other space. And I said, don't. I said, you're going to create chaos. Leave it alone. Just tell the landlord, this is the space that you want. It's going to work fine. This is one of those situations where something possessed the client to go and engage the conversation with the landlord about the space. They said, leave it alone, and started to get into a weird kind of negotiation. Well, but if I take that one, will you charge me this? And the landlord, which is the building owner, literally said, no, no space for you. It was kind of like the soup Nazi on Seinfeld.
Oh my gosh.
You know, no space for you. And when she told me the story, I was kind of dumbfounded, and I just asked, I've known this person a long time. This is not someone new where I'd like, feel insulted. I said, why did you do that? I said, well, you and I talked about that at great length. Mm-hmm. And not only did I say, don't do this one, I explained in great detail why not to do that. And there is a component to human nature. And all the times I've been channeling Merlin, Merlin has always said that we have this component where, as humans, we will find out how bad it can be.
Oh, yeah.
Where an animal senses a predator and they take off running. We stick our face in there to see what it is. And we have to learn that part of us, you know, when we get that feeling that comes into the aura of something's not right, don't wait around to find out what it is. Just get out of there. Leave it alone.
Yeah. And but, I know we're always talking about like not being narcissists and stuff because we're not coming from there. But I, and my family and friends very frequently just completely and just disregard it because they think, no, now that we're friends, you know, I'm just going to get away with it. You know, it's not going to happen. But when somebody's really tested me, I hate to say I've done this, but I've looked at them and I said, you know what? You never, ever want to know how psychic I really am. You really don't want to know because I have read some of the most disastrous situations. And I'm one of the few, and I think you probably will agree. One of the famous things that I say in every reading is, especially if it's not always that pleasant, which it can be, is like, I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
For your sake, I actually hope everything I just said was completely ridiculous because I don't want you to see that. I want you to be mm-hmm. safe and protected.
When a client doesn't do what we advise them to do and it works out, in the same way what I just described a minute ago. I don't want to be right about that. Mm-mm. It's not about being right in that regard. I don't want to be. You mentioned just a moment ago, family, you don't, how psychic you are and you don't want to know. Just today, my daughter that's in college was asking me to do a reading for her. And I did some card spreads for mm-hmm. her. And I said to her something about, it has to do with the possibility of a job situation. And I did the cards and I said what I said. And she looks at me and she looks at Audrey, who was across the table, and says, "That is exactly what happened." And is this amazement like, "You got that right." And I looked at her sheepishly and I said, "Yeah, there's this rumor out there that I might be psychic." And
exactly.
It was done in sweetness on her part, because she was just like taken aback that all this specific information came out. And it's just like, you know, when we teach what we teach,
right,
and tell the students, especially in cards class, you know, wow, your friends, amaze your relatives.
Well, I tell my students, though, I say, you know, until you know what you're doing, please don't read your family and please don't read your friends. Okay, just don't do it. It's just not a great recipe. One of the first things, a quick story, back in the 80s, people were say, "Oh, I heard you're really good. You know, I wasn't charging any money for this." And so a woman asked about her love life, and I said, "Oh, well, your boyfriend's cheating on you. Sorry." Because back then I was really not very, mm-hmm. you know, nice about it. I just was blurting it out. And she got really mad. And then I read her mother. These are really wealthy people from La Cañada, you know, the historic area. And I'm not charging anybody any money. And I told her mother pretty much the same thing, because that's what I saw. And they both promptly broke up with their boyfriends and blamed me for that. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you need a psychic to keep your relationship together, you might I don't know about that.
Free will and choice. We have choice in everything we do, and we're all empowered. We choose to stay empowered. We have a few minutes left in the show. Just upcoming, by the way, next week, my guest on air is Alexandra McComb, who channels Golden Arrow. Please tune in for that. She is amazing. February 16th at the Newmont Center, Alexandra will be there, as I will be channeling Merlin, and the Merlin and Golden Arrow will channel separately and then together. And people love that when we do co-channeling. It's really cool to witness that. Well, I don't see it, but that's what I hear.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then on February 18th, I will be on the show by myself doing live call-in. February 25th is Sheena Metal on my show. And then the following March 3rd or whatever that date is, that's Michelle Guzzi, a hypnotherapist who was on a couple months ago. And she on Saturday, March 7th, she is doing a whole workshop, a whole day of past life regressions. So there's a lot of great guests coming up on this show and a lot of great events at the Newmont Center, which is in Agora Hills. And if you want to talk to me further, I'm at 818-865-8770. And as I said, near the beginning of the show, Vox is now officially a member, a full-time member, not part-time, of the Newmont Center. And go ahead and give your number and email information out again. So
okay,
people...
Maya. The number, actually text me, because I get a lot of calls. I don't know who it is. I know I'm psychic and I'm supposed to know that it's you calling, but it's easier if you text me at 323-782-0222. And that number is all over the web, in case you forget it, which you won't, because I've just hypnotized you. You will remember it. So again, 323-782-0222, and that's on my tarot school site at voxthepsychic.com, VOXXTHEPSYCHIC. And my blog, where I predict world events, is vox.org, VOXX.org. And my email is vox@vox.org. So call, come on in, check it out. I'm going to be teaching all kinds of really cool classes and having events at the Newmont Center.
And we will, you know, she'll post what she's doing. our information will be up on our website and then Facebook and what we have going on. And as we get into March, and there's other planetary stuff coming up in April that's going to affect the primaries and all that, I want to have you back on the show.
That'd be great.
Today it was good to introduce you. A lot of my audience gets to know who you are now. But when I have you back in a few weeks, which will be here before we know it, we're going to get into some really nitty-gritty things about what's going on in the world.
Yeah,
and
you're going to want to tune in for sure.
Exactly. So we have done it for another Tuesday night. This went by at the speed of light. Thank you, all of you, for tuning in or watching. I'm Nick Newmont. This has been Mainstream Metaphysics. Do take care of yourself and take care of each other out there. We'll see you next week at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. Good night.
Night.
Thank you, Vox.
Thanks, Nick.
See you again.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.